here's what's going to happen though. Microsoft is going to do that. It's going to be Snap.
Welcome back to Linux Gamecast Weekly. The show covers the latest Linux gaming news, reviews, how-tos, and most importantly, whatever the hell else we come up with. I'm Vin Stone, joined every week by Jordan Swag, and back from the dead, resuscitated, for the most part, is one Pedro Mateus, and together with you, Shot Realm Dynamic, helping us form Cocaine Voltron. I wonder if that's what gets us, like, immediately flagged on the YouTube live stream. It is adorable when we get done with the stream.
So should we just start calling it like Cocaine Voltron or like?
Oh, I'm not changing the pronunciation, man. No, it's either that or like on Pedro's one shot where it just says fuck.
fuck.
You gotta find the single most demonetizing thing.
It's irritating because they make you play the guessing game. But like, I'll go to like set the stream, get rid of it, and it says limited to no advertising. And I'm like, that's no fun. Tell me what it is so we can do more of it. And
right. This is the AI apocalypse, right? Is just like the AI has rejected you. Are you going to tell us why? No. Too bad. Fuck off.
Have fun troubleshooting. Yeah. Can you imagine that tech support call? Yeah. That ticket? You're like, guy, are you going to tell me what's wrong?
This is why I'm always like, when the devs are like, oh, we should use ChatGPT to generate the code for this. Like, do you understand what it generates? Are you going to fix it when it breaks? No, you write it yourself, you lazy shit.
So I'm not going to tell you that I use ChatGPT. Got it. Understood. No one told Jordan.
Yeah.
What's new? What's going on? I had a like sinus drainage, man. I'm like chewed up cough drops and stuff. Been dealing with that all week. Not even like a cold, but I realized like if I ever get like a serious cold, I'd be the biggest baby in the world. Like even with, like a sore throat from this, I'm like, put me out of my misery. And, like, just wanted to jump in front of traffic. But outside of that, playing a little bit of Control, and we kind of got DDoSed by Mastodon. That was fun. But if you want to hear that story, go back and listen to the pre super shows. And Jordan, you're on like week two or three of your AMD card, man. And hasn't
nothing's exploded so far. Yeah.
Everything's just running. Have you run into any like huh? Have you had to visit Proton DB?
Honestly, no. It's too boring. That's the problem. Boo. There's not a lot of like.
Intel Arc, man. You wouldn't be saying that right now.
If I really wanted to keep things interesting. No, but like honestly, it's nice. Shit just works. I don't have to worry about installing NVIDIA drivers. I do occasionally have to worry about compiling Mesa, but that's about equivalent difficulty, honestly. So,
well, you just install Arch.
No, fuck that shit. I'm gonna install.
You're already on Fedora.
Remember, kids, aim hatred appropriately. That one. You Arch hater.
Damn you, Arch users. Pedro, you're my favorite Arch user. How have you been?
Hey, technically, yeah, I have Manjaro famously on the Pinebook Pro.
I was about
Pro.
To say, man, like in a contest of who has more versions of Arch installed in their house, you win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have, yes, exactly one.
There we go.
It's the Pinebook Pro, yeah.
No, you have two, because there's the Steam Deck too. So.
Oh, yes, the Steam Deck. Yes. Steam OS 3 is Arch-based, technically.
Not GamerOS, though. It's different.
It's very clearly not Arch, but it totally is. Now, I too had a cold over the past,
everybody's had like some type of like nasal thing going on, like just in general meat space. I'm like, what's going on, guys?
Yeah, no, it was like my entire nose was completely blocked off on Monday. I woke up and I couldn't breathe out of my nose at all. So I got up, I just
like,
blew my
stop.
Nose and it was
it's
green.
Not cute anymore.
Like the amount of stuff that came out of my nose, it was like green.
You ever get one of those like you blow your nose and just the mucus never stops and you're like,
yes.
How do I have this much fluid in my head? Like, doesn't make sense.
And then you start to feel a little lightheaded because you've just been pushing out all of the oxygen from your brain. It's like, okay, that's enough blowing my nose now.
Well, my nose was running like a little bit, and I was like, the magic of a little bag of cough drops, because I'm like, all right, let's get to deal with this so I can talk. And so I was like chilling out on my fainting couch in the living room, and I'm sitting there just like, don't do anything, just lay, watch YouTube videos. And I had like the roll of tissue. And I'm like, okay, just in case, because this damn thing won't stop leaking or I need to blow my nose and we're not doing anything. And I get up and I come back and I'm like, it's amazing. It's amazing how that even put it in your head, you know, get the couch, get a coffee table, got a tablet, got a roll of tissue with a bunch of little wads around it. You're like, that looks like a masturbation dungeon. No,
it does. Yeah.
Nay, Jordan. Nay, not when there's the little bag of cough drop. I'm like, oh.
Listen, I like to be able to breathe while I orgasm. I don't know. I'm not about the choky strokey. I don't know about the rest of y'all.
Not a big fan of the asphyxia wank either. No.
Yeah. One hand on the Adam's banana, one hand on the Adam's apple. You know,
the Adam's banana. Much like the horse.
I don't want to talk about the horse's banana. That's going to get us really, really demonetized on YouTube. It's the Steam! Speaking of horse cocks, let's talk about Steam Decks, because those things are related. So we were talking about it last week. They announced the Steam Deck OLED, much like the Switch OLED. Everyone was very, very excited. And if you want to buy one, it's available now. But you're going to need to be in the US or Canada. You need to have an account with good standing. And you need to have made a purchase before November 2023. And only one unit per purpose or per account, which is clearly to stop the scalpers. Although, you know, a lot of the scalpers worth their salts will have multiple verified accounts in good standing. Because honestly, it's not that hard to do. There's enough Steam games that go on sale that, like, you could, with spending about $15-$20, you could get like maybe 15-20 verified Steam accounts in good standing. But still, it's putting the kibosh on the eBay game. Ven was doing that research earlier, and like, oh yeah, it's bad.
Judging by the number of listings on eBay, it's not foolproof, but it's effective. So there's like the link that Ven put in the notes. There's like 500 listings on eBay, so. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's compared to the GPU apocalypse.
$1,128.91. What the? Who would buy that? Who would buy that?
Yeah, you say that. You say that. And this is the exact thought that I had earlier this week. And I'm like, what is, like, would drive this outside of just FOMO? But more importantly, why is it continuing? You know, these cells are still being made, even though. Later that day, Valve's like, yo, we still got some of these decks left, kids. I mean, just come buy them from us. But people are still completing listings on eBay. 107 are up right now for people who bought
Not that one.
No. 12,000. Nobody was going to buy it, this, whatever this was supposed to be. But the Steam OLED, you know, the special edition is going for about $800-$900 right now, which is down from like $1,200 yesterday after Valve made the announcement of like, we got some more in the back, don't worry about it. But I did like think to myself, who's buying these even after that announcement? Why wouldn't you just go to Valve, pick it up? You probably got a Valve, you got a Steam account if you're thinking about getting a Steam Deck, or if you don't, maybe one or two people. But then I was thinking, what about everybody in the UK? What about everybody in Space Australia? Mm-hmm. In the UN, like, this is the only way I can buy a deck because fuck us, that's why.
Yeah, Australia and New Zealand still can't buy even the regular deck because Valve's just not.
But so here's the thing though. For Australia specifically, would it still be cheaper to just buy the scalp deck for $12,000 than the actual Australia tax of buying it just straight up?
Depends on the shipping, I guess.
Look at through the lens of like EU to US conversion right there, even with shipping and adding in, you're probably not paying too much, like, unless you really get hit on VAT
or duty.
Yes. Handling fees and VAT. Yeah. Like the shipping itself, from like eBay or Amazon, it's usually around, for something the size of the deck, is like 30-40 pounds here. So yeah, it would be the tax and the fees.
Oh, free shipping. So,
but yes, to the US.
I'm just looking through these, like, okay, you know, these are mad people right now that are like, that paid $1,000.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like, when And it's like $800 or $900 is the going price today. And I'm sure tomorrow. Oh, poor
someone
buddy.
Paid $1,300
plus $20 shipping.
Oh. R.I.P. buddy. R.I.P.
What? All right. Well, you're just a bad human being if you're charging shipping on your Steam Deck and like scalping. Oh, dude. I don't know.
Well, it's like, I had to pay for shipping for mine, so you have to pay it for when I sell it back to you. Recoup my costs. Man, like, literally the worst human beings.
You know, there's probably a business case where, like, once things get settled down, maybe somebody's already doing it for, like, calling up Valve and being like, yo, how about you send me some decks and I send them to all the places that you ain't?
I think someone's already tried that. it can't, because again, they're Australia, New Zealand, and a few bunch of other countries.
Like above board, you know, not like.
We're not gonna make the one company that's doing like the entire Southeast
Asia.
I'm
not going to put like 3 Steam Decks in a condom and get you to swallow it, right?
Well, no, they have to go up your butt. They're not going to go down your throat.
There's that one company
I know from experience.
That's handling the Steam Deck sales in Japan, Korea, China. The one company.
Yeah, they're in Hawaii too. They're in the entire Pacific region. Mm. And we talked about it a while ago, and I'm also spacing on the name. But yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so clearly someone's already tried that, and there's one. We have an example of one.
But again, this is also the attempt of Valve trying to break into like the Asian market, right?
Because that's it. You get it. It's not necessarily just logistics, but the hard thing is going to be dealing with RMAs and support in other countries. Mm-hmm. All right, and like you're not gonna like. Then that gets super complicated when you have to call up Valve and you just get one off eBay, and you're like, it's dead, and they're like, we didn't sell you that.
Fortunately, you can buy parts for it these days. So.
Right, there is that. Let's stay on the Steam Deck topic and everyone's favorite cloud gaming service.
That's been one of the things that keeps being brought up is people wanting to play the Xbox cloud games on the Steam Deck. And you may remember Microsoft at one point, a couple of employees got together and made an unofficial way to do it. And Stephen Tatio, a reporter who's worked for a number of different video game centric publications like your Kotaku's, he's one of the better ones. Much like a bunch of other journalists and YouTubers, got an interview with Lawrence Yang and a few other people at Valve because of the new Steam Deck OLED. And he asked the question, so getting Xbox gaming to run on the Steam Deck is cumbersome. You can't just download an app. And Lawrence Yang turns around and says, it's not my department. Yeah, that sounds like Lawrence Yang just told you to go ask Microsoft about that one. That's that's very much not on Valve. That particular ball needs to come a rolling from the Microsoft.
You're making it sound like it's a big ordeal, man. Microsoft even has a support page for Xbox Cloud Gaming in Microsoft Edge with the Steam Deck. And I do want to quote, for gamers interested in Xbox Cloud Gaming beta and Microsoft Edge, because those two go right together like horses and glue, baby. Step one, grab a keyboard and a dribble, then 20 steps after that, and you're done. All you have to do is install a community packaged version of Edge. So don't worry about that. And Microsoft, just release an app on Steam. Like,
flat out.
Yeah, do it. Instead of being a community-made version of Edge, just release a flatback called
Make it not
Xbox
required.
Cloud.
No
or
Edge.
And done.
How about Edge a hard dependency, Microsoft? Fix?
No, I mean, that's just not going to happen. That's wow. Microsoft.
Maybe. I mean...
Yeah. We just saw it with Discord, right? Like, the Discord flatback is now officially sanctioned by Discord proper. You could do basically the same shit with like Edge or whatever. Yeah, mm-hmm. Use the community package, but like, you know, where Microsoft gives it the signal of approval
and put it on
and
the Steam store.
Install it, Discover, because like I honestly I thought it was going to be a lot less complicated than that. I thought it was just, oh yeah, install Edge from KDE Discover and that's it. But yeah,
no, there's some launch codes. And yeah, again, Microsoft could totally make that official and just have all of the launch codes and all of the procedures included in one singular Flatpak script that installs everything it needs in one click of the Discover store. They could do that, but they don't want to.
Oh, see, but here's what's going to happen, though. Microsoft is going to do that. But it's going to be a snap.
That's about snap, as realistic. Snap only.
They're Authy style.
Yeah.
Oh, it wouldn't make Canonical very happy for sure.
Listen, sometimes Microsoft woke up and they just chose violence. You know? That's...
I would probably be the single most popular snap ever very, very quickly.
It wouldn't be a Herculean effort to make a Linux native version of whatever Edge is. And
there already is.
Yeah. Finish the sentence. Put it on the Steam store, you know, not Edge itself, but something that gets an app, you download, it doesn't cost anything, and it just runs that. Like that, the engineering hours in that would be relatively trivial, I would like to believe. Maybe, maybe not, but at the end of the day, I want to peek into that alternate timeline where, like, Microsoft didn't lose their damn minds with the Windows Store back in the day, where they're like, hey, if you're going to sell games on Windows, you got to buy them through us. We get the cut. And Valve was like, so this Linux thing, huh?
Yeah, the big motivator, which was why Valve even started looking at Apple. To get away from just being dependent on Windows, and then Apple going, nah, you gotta go, everything needs to come through us, so let's have a look at Linux then.
I mean, it makes sense, but yeah, I'd like to take a look at that universe, because like there has to be some reluctance on Microsoft's side of like, why would you have to pick Linux, man? Come on.
Come back here.
We had Gaben himself said, that's your fault, Microsoft, so...
Tim Sweeney said, it's also your fault, Microsoft, but we're not going to go anywhere because...
I'm too stupid to figure out how Linux works, so we're just going to stay with Windows.
Well, for those of you who also can't figure out how Linux works, but do want to attempt to run something that's not Windows, you might want to buy yourself a Google laptop, one of them Chromebooks. And then after a while, you might say, wow, I'm really bored just watching YouTube videos. I want to play some video games. What are my options? Well, lo and behold, ProtonDB has some good news for you. They have added a compatibility tracker for Chromebooks, very similar to how they have one for the Steam Deck where that just shows the verified status. They have their own thing now for handling whether or not it runs on a Chromebook. And they have a list of games... Twilight Town, man. They have a list of games that are like ready to go for a Chromebook, and it's all like Yu-Gi-Oh, Magic the Gathering, and Vampire Survivors. And you know, I guess it's going to be your mileage may vary type thing, because the hardware variety on Chromebooks are a lot more diverse than say your Steam Deck, which is you have your crappy Steam Deck, and then you have the new hot Steam Deck that just runs circles around the old one and makes the other one completely invalidated. But yeah, here you can have like Chromebooks that have dedicated GPUs, integrated GPUs. It's kind of a bit of a mess. So take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, no, the effort that Google's doing to get Steam running, it at least controls, since it's all running in a virtualized environment anyway, it at least controls the software disparity. Yes, that there's less of that integration and control of the hardware platform like they have with the Steam Deck, obviously, but the software is all going to be the same, so it's far less likely that people will have issues with different distros like they would on the desktop. So I guess
this is all the Steam app through Crouton, right?
Yeah.
Or is it?
Yeah, it's not Crouton, but it's similar to that. It's that containerization, virtualization.
Close enough to where people would still argue with you over the internet about it.
Yes.
But you do have to imagine anybody with a Chromebook, you know what you got. You got reasonable expectations, right? You do. You know, you know no, what showed up and like the school gave you. Like, you don't expect to be able to run Cyberpunk 2077 at, you know, 4K with ray tracing enabled. You know you're going to have to disable that ray tracing.
Damn it. I should. Damn it, Google. This is your fault.
How dare you tell me this $80... Wait, that's probably on the high end these days. This right? $40 Chromebook.
Listen, I don't let reality shade my expectations in the least.
I think this is handy simply because most people seriously coming in, you know, if you do have a Chromebook, maybe, you know, it was issued to you by school or whatever. Maybe you made this personal choice and you're walking into it like, I wonder. And it's like a bonus thing when you say like, oh, cool. Like, should I even bother playing around with trying to get this to work? And now we have that on SteamDB. I'm like, oh, okay. Maybe if I do this and this, or you just get that confirmation.
Game X works. I can kill time at school while I'm waiting in between classes or whatever.
Vampire Survivors is a very good use case for that. Yes.
Couple of new games this week. And by couple, I mean one.
The one which a developer very kindly sent us some keys. The game isn't
That's
even out
what
yet.
That was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's for Spacecraft Tactics. It sent us some keys on Curator Connect. Thank you so very much. It is a self-described 2D turn-based tactical space game. I tried to say technical, and there it goes again. Tactical and technical at the same time. save
Pedro,
the last
English
rebel.
Word for that is tentacle.
I would make an argument that's probably the Japanese word for it, but yeah. Save the last rebel outpost in the campaign. Develop a strategy, execute it in tactical battles, and micromanage your ship. I'm looking at the trailer, and it's just that is someone's cup of tea, not mine, but someone's going to really love this game.
So here's the thing that like tickles me about it. It's got that online PvP, and it's got that online co-op. Yes. So. Yes, please. I want to try this out. Like,
yeah, I know. We're going to have one of those violent, nobody knows what the hell they're doing offs.
Yeah, absolutely. but that's the fun of like any given Linux Gamecast stream.
Oh, it is. It is. Single player online PvP, LAN online co-op, LAN co-op. I mean, this looks it's going to be kind of interesting. It's going to come out on the 27th.
This game has online multiplayer. This one.
Yes.
Literally, like all,
job,
all the racing
Stefan.
Games,
good job.
All the fighting games. No, local co-op only. No, the spaceship, the MS Paint art spaceship game gets the online multiplayer. Like, come on, people.
Dragons are expensive, man, or something. I don't know. Middleware.
Spaceships are expensive.
Right. So you probably heard about this next bit of news and a little bit of an update for a game that's been out for 25 years, Half-Life. Anniversary update. The same game you played in 1998, restored, augmented, and revitalized. And man, you can definitely get your first gen head crabs on your deck. That's kind of the big news with this one. And it's absolutely free to play and free to own. So if you somehow do not have the original Half-Life on Steam, go get it. It's yours. No takesy-backsies on that. And they've done a couple of interesting things with this release. Like the one that caught me when I was messing around in the menu. Okay, in the menu, they brought back the original main menu. I was like, I haven't seen that in forever. But there's also a software renderer on Linux now, which I was immediately disappointed by because it's limited to 900p. And I wanted to see how many FPSs I could get at UHD using the software. Now those dreams have been denied. Another thing that made me smile a bit, with the game being free, you know, until Monday, I think, there were over 1,000 people in Deathmatch running around, just having fun. And I jumped in and I wrecked some noobs. It was a great time. And still can't play it on a Mac, though. So if you got your hopes up, they're like, they updated it and it's going to be 64, but nope. No love there. However, what are your thoughts on this, gentlemen? I mean, the UI changes, input changes, all this is going to be in our show notes. One thing I thought might have been like just that little bit of extra cool, you know, considering this game is 25 years old, is like just completely open sourcing the damn thing.
That would be cool.
Wouldn't that
they've already released the gold SRC source. So I guess.
But
they
like,
don't
like,
want
like,
to...
like a GP, like a GPL yeah. or BSD licensed, like Half-Life one. Oh, so like, I wonder how much. It, well, there's a lot of Quake in there, so I wonder how much overlap between.
Then they have to release the source code for Quake. That'll never happen. Yeah. Not with ZeniMax doing everything that is like, well, how can we get that back close sourced again? Night Dive, what are you up to? Hey, remake this. No, it needs more ice skates.
Well, maybe yeah,
use the Quake Live engine. We're not sharing that.
Yeah, they had that documentary too. That was a fun little watch.
Yes.
I got called out at like minute 15 somehow. Yeah, but
what happened?
They're talking about like how they came across like how they came up with the design for Gordon Freeman. Like originally we were just inspired by like big beefy bearded Linux programmers. I'm like, what the fuck? And,
based on
clearly they were thinking about me in 1998. Oh. You know, the 9 year old child Jordan. Yes, absolutely. I am Gordon Freeman. I am Jordan Freeman.
Who remaining at Valve was still around to like tango with this code base, right? Like that's an interesting project.
I don't think
project
it was a remaining. I think it was one of the newer people that went, how about we just update it to make it work properly on the Steam Deck?
I'm pretty sure that was a prompting from Gabe. Is like, we should probably get this working on.
But considering this is like Half-Life 1, I wonder if Gabe had to like QA, like, get
some
feedback.
Yeah, he had to, like, crack his fingers.
Yeah,
like,
he's like, shit, do I remember this thing?
Yeah,
like,
the last person to touch this code
was
Gabe.
Was he sitting there bitching about the value of commenting shit correctly?
Yeah. Yeah, 25 years later, you're like, I don't remember a goddamn thing that I did.
Yeah, no, I very much enjoyed the documentary of them going, we were running out of money, we were running out of time. Sierra wasn't going to give us any money because Half-Life was originally published by Sierra. Yes. And so they were basically going, okay, we need to get this wrapped up and shipped and it's going to be late. We're not going to be paid for it for a while. So yeah, no, it was
like the whole process of like they designed a bunch of cool technical stuff, and then at the end they're like, we don't have a game though. We need to like push this all into
things
like,
together.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, the Steam Deck update, when they first released it, movement didn't work at all. You couldn't get either digital or analog movement with the left analog stick. None. The mouse and the right analog stick movement, that was fine. It was just
let me go ahead and interrupt. This is why it's so great to go into deathmatch right now, because a lot of these people are playing on their Steam Decks over Wi-Fi and you can just murderate them.
Yes, but the second update that they released on the 17th, it fixed controller support. So I did go to the forums and I saw a bunch of threads of people bitching. It's like, this is a really bad remaster. And quite a few people in that thread pointing out, this isn't a remaster, this is an update. It's literally the exact same game, just updated. And to your point earlier,
I will say though, to that point, the article says the same game you played, restored, augmented, and revitalized. That could be interpreted as
deliberately not remastered. Yes.
Yeah, but still, that is some vague wording. You can. It's an understandable mistake. But anyways, go.
But no, Ven was talking about the software render earlier. I did try it. The highest resolution you can get to in 16:9 is 1366x768, and the frame rate on the 5800X 3D was capped at 100 FPS. So you probably need some console commands to unlock it.
Okay, yes, the correct thing I should have said is like find out what the frame rate cap for Half-Life 1 was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
100.
100.
If you set it to OpenGL, it goes up to whatever, at least 144, it was doing it just fine. But it probably goes to whatever your VSync is on your monitor.
All right. I mean, hey, free game. Worst case scenario, yeah. Right? Go play it if you haven't. I recommend Black Mesa if you want a more recent, because you know, to the point, not necessarily, it's not a remaster in the sense of like I would consider Black Mesa a remaster, like re-envisioning, like everything's been updated, new models, new graphics, new sounds.
Some of the levels have been truncated. Like,
right. So, yeah, this has got some new levels in it, a couple of new models, but all the pixels are like OG, you know, it's like, and it still opens in the monitor.
Yeah, I do like that they say that they now consider this anniversary version of Half-Life to be the definitive version and one they will support going forward. Therefore, they'll be reducing the visibility of Half-Life Source on the Steam store. They're still keeping it around because there's a bunch of games and mods that use Half-Life Source materials.
Do you want to be really dope if they had added a co-op mode? Oh.
Yeah.
there is a Half-Life co-op campaign, but that's a weird one.
Or better integration with like setting up servers. Listen, I can nitpick it day in and day out, but we need to talk about creatures in the number 7.
Ah, yes. The Dex of Qud. Creatures of the 7th Plague is the major update for Caves of Qud. If you are a bit of a roguelike buff, you've heard of Caves of Qud. It is perhaps the most in-depth and yet completely inscrutable roguelike that people actually enjoy playing. It's one of those games that I wish I had the time to get into it. But I don't, so I just watch from the sidelines. And the new update, the big thing for us here anyway, is the Steam Deck integration. They've added, they already had a Linux version, but now they've just added proper controller support. And you can play it entirely on the Steam Deck. Everything is readable. Everything is absolutely supported. So it's very good to see. And seriously, when I'm old and retired, if I'm still alive, Caves of Qud is probably one of those games for me.
As opposed to dead and retired?
yeah. I have to be alive to play the video games unless someone figures out
undersell. Like, we don't know what state necromancy is going to be in.
Right, yeah. Right. Listen, if you got a line on a good necromancer, hook me up.
Dozens I've been looking for of one. Necromancy startups right now. So don't sell them short, man.
Yeah. The AI assisted necromancy. Oh, God.
No, I just want to bring back like dudes in leather pants with skulls. Can we just do that?
No. I'm just like, okay, everybody, put on your helmets. Okay, Google.
Okay, Google, raise the dead.
Raise that corpse over there.
You're out of third level spell slots. Fuck you.
I need to update my payment information. Damn it.
Yeah. Paid a zombie.
You don't have enough magic points. Would you like to buy some?
No. That's the John Ricciatello special. Is you're out of mana. Would you like to spend a dollar for an extra mana point?
Yeah, a dollar gives you 10 magic points, but you need 12 in order to cast a
like
spell.
The little helpful helper. You're like, shut up, Necro Clippy.
Oh yeah, like the fucking demon Clippy. Yeah, it's like Clippy, but it's like the spelling's all fucked up.
Right.
And like Eldritch. Yes.
Someone text Clippy, yes.
Someone make that game, please. Thank you. That is all. I guess we're done talking about Caves of Qud. We got some news to talk about. Some Nuzu for the Yuzu, our favorite Switch emulator. They have an update for October 2023. It's midway through November, so that's about on time. The big one here is they got Super Mario Wonder playable. It has some weird V-Sync behavior where it alternates between two times and or two triple and double buffered V-Sync, depending on where you are. And the emulator did not handle that super well. Also, apparently, it vibrates a lot, like a lot, to the point where it saturated the Yuzu vibration subsystem. So they had to make vibration asynchronous for this.
Quick question for you, Jordan.
What?
How much of that do you think was intentional?
I don't know. I remember there was like apps on the Switch store. It's like, yes, massager. It will just make your controller.
What I'm talking about is Nintendo kind of going out of their way a little bit. I'm like, let's make this as hard as humanly possible.
Absolutely. Yeah, to fuck around with the emulators because they're getting their ass kicked. Like, yeah, the people who aren't making the console are making software that runs their software way better.
Yeah.
So They do have some driver updates as well. They're warning that NVIDIA users, there's some weird Vulkan behavior in the 540 and 550 drivers, so they should stick to 530 for best performance. And we talked about the deprecation of Vega and Polaris on the AMD driver side. I guess one thing we didn't realize is that also affects Windows. Here on Linux, we got like Mesa, so our drivers don't suck. But on Windows land, yeah, that's it for those guys. Too bad. Yeah, so sad.
If you know, the emulator people are mourning the passing of Polaris and Vega from the proprietary drivers, that is a significant enough impact. And yeah, when you look everything from the RX 480 when that first came out up to the RX 590 and a lot of the APUs.
All of the APUs that had Vega graphics.
That is a fat chunk of people's systems. And yeah, like Jordan already said, on Linux, as long as RadV is called RadV, you will probably be supported and you'll get the Vulkan and Mesa. The Gallium driver will probably continue to support OpenGL just fine until they put a newer major revision out that changes the name and it drops the older cards. So
RadV,
you're probably okay for a few years.
RadV.
Or like RadV 2.0, yeah.
Put some extra numbers in. I want to give the Yuzu somebody stretch for the joke. Good on you, sir or madam. Epic smashed a sleepover with 8 connected.
Yes. Long term, though, they have some cool stuff happening as well. They're working on native code execution in ARM because the Switch is a ARM device. Maybe you don't need to emulate a bunch of those syscalls because you also have ARCH64 CPU on board.
What's going on in this picture? This looks like Donkey is inspecting what's on the bottom of Kirby. Dr. Kong. Mm-hmm.
It's looking up Kirby's other hole.
Cloaca? I hope it's a cloaca.
There's no other hole. It goes in Kirby's mouth and it vanishes. No. It gets annihilated like fucking antimatter.
Is that what this is?
It's Pokemon.
What's inside Kirby. Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, the native code execution work also gives them some better insight on the x86 side because, you know, now they understand what the actual like machine code is being generated for ARM. They can apply that to x86 side. So all in all, pretty good update from these guys. Work is chugging along. Games are fucking running. Play Super Mario Odyssey. Apparently, there's going to be some big gains coming for Android and ARM with the native code execution stuff. So that's going to be really cool as well.
I did see that Super Paper Mario released this week for the Switch.
Mm-hmm. Mario RPG, I think it was.
Or whatever it was, yeah. And the glowing review, somebody talking, like, yeah, it's only a little bit chuggy.
it's a remake of a Super Nintendo game.
This was said with no joke, no self-awareness whatsoever. This was like, only a little bit of slowdown, you guys.
The Pokemon game that came out in a completely busted state.
Scarlet and Violet. That's still not fixed, by the way. That's still all busted. They released a $50 DLC for it that did not fix it.
Yeah, when you have examples like that, yeah, I can see them praising the non-chuggy bits, but at the same time, you have, like, when the new Zelda game came out, day one, because there were people who leaked the game before it came out for, you know, the rest of the market. Day one, the game was already running on Yuzu on the Steam Deck at double the frame rate that it did on the Switch.
Yes. And yeah, listen to me. This is why Nintendo, I want you to go back and tie the FPS into the physics hard.
30 or bust. Eat shit.
They are Japanese developers. So,
I want to see messed up Link at 120 FPS, man. Just like,
I mean, you can just go down to California, go down to Stratospace, you can see that.
I remember when Nier Replicant 1.2 came out, the frame rate was tied to the physics. So unless you were running a multiple of 30, You were getting some interesting behavior. I was running the game at 144, because 144, and the game was running significantly faster, which meant I could get through, like the planes outside of town,
mm-hmm.
in about 2 minutes, while watching someone on YouTube take about 5 minutes taking the exact same route. I was like...
Sometimes it's good, but sometimes that's really bad. I think it was, like, Killer is Dead is, like, this brilliant... kind of artsy third person shooter type game that I've always wanted to play, but it's like locked at 30 FPS and you got to do like, you know, it's like Unreal Engine 2.3 or maybe 3.0 for, I don't think it's 3 yet. And, but it has that issue where the physics are tied to the frame rate, but there's so many like little mini quick time events. When you put it on 60, then they have all these other physics changes that they've done to the INI file to try to compensate for that somewhat, and it's not quite there, and it's always upset me. And it's a me problem, because I just don't want to play it at 30 FPS. But, yeah, don't do that, people. But just great work with the user team. I mean, how's user running on the deck? Have either of you bothered
still,
to do that?
Still haven't gotten around to doing that yet.
I don't have any Nintendo games.
How can you
try?
You were letting down the moniker
that
of the
I've
filthy.
Wanted to play.
Oh, really?
Yeah, honestly, no.
Are you scared? Are you worried about tasting it? You're like, oh shit.
Yeah, and tasting the full 60 FPS on like, the Switch games, and then looking at the Switch and going, I don't need you anymore.
I was like, I need you to purchase the games so that I can copy them over to my fucking yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I got really soured on Pokemon Scarlet and Violet because I just saw what a shit state it released, and mm-hmm. I'm like, is there anything else on the Switch? That no, all this stuff is on Steam. I can just play it on my Steam Deck.
But I mean, it's sad to see that. We're like, no, this is okay. These crackheads are going to deal with it. I mean, same as we talked about, yeah, City Skylines, man. They're like, these crackheads to deal with it. We might fix it. We might not. With Nintendo, you're like, what you going to do?
Yeah, give us another $80.
Oh man. Hey.
Shadow. What evil lurks within the heart of your NVIDIA
the darks
card?
Of hearts,
the Shadow knows.
Shadow the Hedgehog.
We've always I don't want to say not everybody, like most sane people have probably never sat down and been like, man, I want to record this video game that I'm playing to put it on YouTube, or like maybe, you know, now everybody's streaming, but back in my day, that's what you did. You know, you made some YouTube videos and you wanted to record your video games, and capturing games with just like minimum overhead has always been an issue on Linux. It just has since the beginning of forever. I was there day one, man. You know, when the Linux first showed up with game capture. And back then I used a program called GLC, which itself was like a game capture hardware, which could leverage your hardware to capture on NVIDIA only at the time. Another program called Yukon, which was even older. Now, to translate that into Windows speak, it was basically Fraps for Linux, which had to use a command line, so, you know, it was kind of out of the reach for a lot of people. But it did work, and good results. Keeping in that tradition, Shadowcast, GPU accelerated screen and audio recording, low latency, low overhead, GPU accelerated, you know it, you can do it. Still no GUI, so that's going to cut down a large part of the audience, and they really should pick a better example for the game capture here, because that looks like something we were talking about 240p streaming.
JPEG compression. Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't give you that much space on the GitHub page. I don't.
Pretty easy to use. You know, if you don't want to deal with the overhead, that is OBS. And I'm going to have a hard time telling you, like, if you just want to record some gameplay, OBS is good enough these days. Download it, install it. Like get the window in, get the audio in, and just go that way. But if you want to be old school about it, and Jordan, you make a point, this uses the NV frame buffer.
Yes.
Which is only enabled by default on Quadros and whatever the hell Quadros are called these days. The A series.
Yeah, that A for ass.
Give us money.
Ampere, but
there's a $1,200 one on the wish list.
Yes.
Buy me one.
But yeah, they say you can obtain a key via various methods or patch drivers.
That's, yeah, use the NVIDIA patch utility. There's a GitHub repo for that. It's very simple to do. I used to do this with OBS, but OBS, once it moved to EGL, it no longer supports this. So, yeah, this is the only way. Yeah.
Oh, I was gonna say one other weird thing about this guy is it's built on pipe wire too, which is that one stood out.
That kind of caught me out of what I saw. I was like, wait a minute, are you sure? And I went reading, and lo and hold, B, man, because requiring pipe wire is kind of a strange dependency chain when you're dealing with like other hard requirements, aka X11 and NVIDIA GPUs.
X and NVIDIA, that makes sense. The two very much go hand in hand. So it is unfortunate that it only supports X, but it's not unexpected given the NVIDIA unexpected requirement. Yes.
It gets flipped around like that, though, very strangely. What was it? The digital audio workstation from PreSonus had a very weird requirement of, like, it needs Wayland. Absolutely has to have Wayland. And what does it use for the sound server? Jack.
I mean, yeah, Jack works fine with Wayland. It's,
yeah. No, Pedro. Not Pulse Audio. Not Pulse Audio. Not Pipewire Module Jack. No. I don't work with that motherfucker.
No. I mean, actual Jack.
Yeah. Hard Jack.
I was using Wayland with actual Jack on the old,
Me too.
Apogee. Because that required Jack. Otherwise, it'd get weird noises in my ears. But that Jack works just fine with Wayland. It's
now try explaining that to the internet.
Honestly, a lot of people already get it, at least the people who
I got matter. Evidence to the fucking contrary for both of you, because I've dealt with these fucking emails since I posted that video with 1200 views on it.
Yes. I saw some of the YouTube comments.
Dude, that's tip of the fucking iceberg.
that can't be helped.
Yeah, but no, like having something like Shadowplay that isn't stuck behind Windows or a GeForce Experience account, that's very good. And people have been asking for something like Shadowplay on Linux for a long, long time without having to use OBS. Because yes, OBS lets you do some of the stuff that Shadowplay does, but like Ven already said, you have that extra bit of overhead because you have to be running the entire OBS Open Broadcast Studio, as it were. So it is, that's very good to see, but NVIDIA, that Wayland support, get on it.
Well, speaking of the NVFBC thing, one thing overall that I think has been sort of like a sorry situation is like hardware encoder access on Linux. Cause like, yeah, you got to jump through some hoops if you want AMF on, Linux. And you're stuck using the they're open source. You're stuck using AMD's drivers. And like same thing here, where you need to like patch a driver or like provide a key. I really wish like that would be just resolved outright under Linux.
How so? Yeah.
I don't know. Just making it work right off the bat, not having arbitrary limitations in your driver to like have to pass keys to access but features, Jordan, or in the case of the AMD side, money? Like actually just exposing it, right?
But artificial hardware limit, I mean, software restrictions to hardware. Like, that's brand new.
Like Intel locking cores and firmware unless you pay them extra money to unlock the other cores.
Oh, hang on. Let me put some more ECC memory in my Intel box.
Yeah.
Now, hey, I want to overclock it, too. Oh, right.
Yeah, that's going to be an extra $1,000.
Get by the gold edition. You mean $12,000? Yes.
Yeah. For all cores, if you want all core overclocking, yeah.
Dude, I don't know. I'm curious. Like, let us know. Send us some feedback. Leave us a comment if you are still like capturing stuff. I'm assuming everybody just uses OBS these days. Like,
on Linux, yeah, pretty much.
I do have questions like what people are using for 4K capture.
Like hardware wise?
Yeah, right. Like my solution to that was to throw a $500 hardware appliance at it.
That's probably what a lot of people do, which is have the second computer.
Oh, I do it on the same computer.
It's just a lot easier if you have two computers, one to play the 4K thing and the other one to record the 4K thing.
But if I only wanted to record like 3.5K,
then you gotta get a 970
NVIDIA GTX 970.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, SDL has been a blessing, sprinkling moon magic. It's changed the way we're able to play games. Like, we expect things that 10 years ago you didn't expect, like controller support.
Or it not shutting off the one monitor when you launch the game.
This is true. Sound just kind of working and not having to futz around with like ALSA or A-Play or PAC, whatever that thing was.
But, this brings this wonderful piece of technology to a well-beloved game, Ski Free SDL from Jeff1AM Studios. Links to all this stuff in our show notes. It's Ski Free. It uses the source port. And it's forked from another source port. This one adds SDL. Does not have mouse support or sound support right off the bat, but they're hoping to add that eventually. You can now on a modern computer, you can get stuffed into the mouth of a Yeti. I just love Ski Free. Like, I played a lot of it in the waiting room of my therapist's office as a child, so I just have like powerful nostalgia for it. It's fun though.
I played a lot of it. Yeah, as a child as well, but with a mouse. So it would be nice to have that mouse support, but it is all open source. So if you have the chops to make that work, give it a look. And SDL, use more SDL for things. Also, why SDL 2? Isn't SDL 3 out?
Well, like, but it's like a lexical thing, right? Like, SDL 2 is... like SDL 2 is still compatible with SDL 3. It's like how kernel like 3.0 plus is like 2.27 whatever, right? Like, it's still the same thing, but they just like changed the numbering.
You thought you could escape Ski Free and you can't. I think at some point everybody's played this just a little bit. I've never played it enough to even realize that it had mouse support at any point. I want some things, though. I mean, if you're going to go through this, like, you get the baby steps. So here comes the random person on the internet and be like, hey, I bet you can't do this. Hey, I bet you can't do this. Can we like, massively multiplayer?
Ski-free battle royale?
Yeah.
Ski-free BR?
Like, just from checkpoint to checkpoint.
Oh, my God. That would have made snow, like ghosts, actually worthwhile playing. Like the ghost cars. As if it was, like, multiplayer PvP snowboarding.
But we can do the async stuff. Somebody can be the Yeti.
Dead by Daylight, that shit, too. Watch the one Ada player just, like, perfectly dodge everyone, be like, oh, my God.
Good Lord, that was a brilliant thing to watch, wasn't it?
That was, like, a minute straight of just, like, perfect dodge.
I felt that, you know, we were being, not rewarded, but we were blessed to be able to just, like, this is somebody that does nothing but play this game. Like,
That's someone who's played that game every day for the past many, many years.
Like, carry us, Ada! Carry us!
And they did. We get out of that in one piece. But yeah, online multiplayer, maybe some ray tracing. Some type of, like, simple multi. If somebody's looking for, like, next year's, like, Summer of Code project.
Yeah.
There you go. Something real basic. And you know what?
Scattle Royale.
Sure. Why not?
Scatman Royale.
I'm still just impressed that somebody originally decided that they were going to do a decomp of Ski Free at some point. Mm-hmm. Somebody woke up one morning and was like, I chose violence, right? And this thing, you know, it was compatible. Like, they did a decomp to it just back to C. It was a Visual Studio compat. Like, this is SDL. I built it. It's really slick. It's a CMake project, of course, but it's automated to get the resources that you need. Because, yes, you need...
You need the data files for Ski Free.
Actual resources.
200 kilobytes of it. Yeah, like...
It builds, like, two SDL packages you probably don't have installed, even if you have SDL dev set up. But after that, it's done. It's a little executable. And, it's just something fun. I thought it was neat.
Yeah.
Game preservation. It's not just for, you know, the high-profile 3D games. It's for those that you remember being very, very young and just sinking, if not hours, at least many, many minutes into.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to hit us all over the face with your nostalgia and the games you used to play way back when you started playing games on Linux, we're curious. We might even talk about it here on this very show. Smash that contact button. fill out the contact form, which works again. I meant to talk about that at the beginning of the show because I did some stuff with some DNS security things. And to like Thursday, if you sent a message, didn't work. So you might want to resend that. Pick the right show. All we need is an email. And this all stays on our server, so you don't have to worry about it going off and getting sent to anybody. Leave a YouTube comment, Patreon post, leave a comment on that. If you get a question, you know, that's all fair game. You hit me on the social media, you hit us in Discord. Don't expect that to show up on the show because squirrel, we're not going to remember to get back to that. So yeah, email's always a good shot. Last week, while Pedro was busy being dead, somebody asked about gaming distribution. So before we even get to it, Pedro, is there a place for like gaming distributions in 2023? We didn't get a chance to, you know, you being deceased at all.
I read the show notes and they were asking about the worst distro for gaming.
We're going to get to that, but I want your take on is there a place, which I discussed before we got to that last week, for a gaming distribution in 2023.
There absolutely is, if not a, like a dedicated place, then, a niche, let's call it that, for people who want to just have that one distribution that they will install and everything will work and it'll have reasonably up-to-date drivers and everything, like Nobara. Or, you guys brought up a gen to some degree, Sabayan, which was the, I don't know if it's still actively maintained, but that was like the
Sabayan or Sayabon,
the Sibian. Yeah, I've seen that.
One of
the Sibian, the Sibian. Yeah.
Sayabon, Sabayan, that one.
High basically, Sabon's Power Rangers
probably runs embedded Linux. So be quiet.
Do you think the Megazord runs Linux?
Easy version of Gentoo, as it were. But it is, there absolutely is, if not a need, then there absolutely is a niche.
Sabaton Linux.
Oh, that's Sabaton. That's a great Beastie Boys song about the.
Yeah, I'm telling you all, it's Sabaton. Yeah.
Sabaton.
Yeah. So,
so is it Sabayan? Okay.
So Claudio writes in, and they say corporate distributions like Red Hat are the worst for gaming. It's not minimal impact. It's very difficult to get their libraries, subsystems, kernels, and the likes to properly do gaming. So I saw this, and I thought to myself, yeah, maybe if you're talking about like Red Hat 6, but even Red Hat 7 is based off of like Fedora 15, and a lot of the games on Steam right now, they're targeting like Ubuntu 12.
Red Hat 7, I would put that in the spectrum of like, you're saying there's a chance.
There's a chance. CentOS 8, absolutely, you could get modern shit running on.
Oh, yeah.
That's not up for debate. Sure, I don't recommend like installing SLED as your gaming distribution, although I don't recommend installing like SUSE. But like, I don't know. And you throw KurtAngle into the mix, you throw Wine in there, and like Wine abstracts a lot of like compatibility issues just out of there. If you can just run Wine, you can run most games.
Now, do you think that's like hits differently though? When you, okay, now this comes down to a very different thing of like with older distributions. The three of us, not a problem. Like, oh, I need to, in your case, downloading and compile a new version of Mesa. But if you're in the position of like, I'm not capable of doing that, nor do I have the will and the drive. Linux sucks.
But then you paid the licensing fee for a copy of Red Hat?
No, Work did.
Work did.
Yeah, they just gave me the CDs and I brought them home and I installed
them on my Alienware gaming PC.
It came on 40 thumb drives because they got it, the thumb drives off Amazon.
Yeah, it's not even that they're like split up across all those thumb drives. It's just one of them is bound to have the installer on it. Right. You just gotta like brute force it one at a time.
But that's the thing, like you guys talked about last week. I don't think either of you mentioned the fact that, okay, the worst gaming distro that you can actually have is one that things don't work properly on. So I'd make the argument that Holo ISO is the worst gaming distro you can recommend to anyone. Because, yes, it is technically the OS that comes on the Steam Deck, but the OS that comes on the Steam Deck is very much tied to that hardware. Everything is set up expecting those APUs and those controllers and those touchpads.
So would you put your money where your mouth is? Would you to conclusively prove that Holo ISO is the worst gaming distribution, would you mainline it for 2 weeks?
We don't need more anecdotal evidence when we have mainstream media going, I tried Linux gaming and it was shit. And then you read the article, it's like, oh, they installed Holo ISO and nothing worked properly. Well, no shit.
Put
Sherlock.
Your money where your mouth is, Pedro. Your money.
But that's the thing. I don't need to generate more anecdotal.
A spare laptop.
If only he had a spare computer. That boy,
he's multiple spare laptops.
Like in a desert. Lack of computation.
I know his shit. SteamOS works great on the Steam Deck because that's what it is tied to. And we didn't mention this earlier, but one of the things that got asked by a lot of YouTubers and journalists to Lawrence Yang and the rest of the Steam Deck team was, where's SteamOS for PC? And they say, yeah, the people who are working on that are currently working on the OLED version, so we need to get that out and they can go back to doing that.
Then they said the priority is to get Holo, the SteamOS, the latest version, on other handhelds.
Yes, that very much, that's the most business sound decision that they could make. So yeah, absolutely, get that done. But it, as long as it's working on other third-party handhelds, that opens up the hardware significantly. So
but that's also there's the double-edged sword there, right? Because one of the big draws of the Steam Deck is, here's your consistent hardware performance target.
Oh no, George, you're going right into what I was like, does it have like the little thing like on your Samsung tablet when you unlock the bootloader when you boot it up on a non-Steam Deck? I was like, get wrecked, nope, the shit might not work, not a problem.
Yeah,
fuck off.
big old scare text.
Yeah, it's just like Gabe laughing, counting money. It's like no support, blinking.
No, it's like the Dennis Nedry, like, from Jurassic, except it's just Gabe.
But you know what? It wouldn't be terribly expensive and out of scope for, like, a popular, like, the Asus ROG series. Like, you're like, you know what that hardware is. You could support it, but you would have that disclaimer of, like, it may perform better or worse, whatever, not our problem. But, I mean, you get Steam refunds, so you don't like it, just get a refund, deal with it.
Yeah, but if you're supporting the ROG Ally and the INEO, the Intel one, and the INEO, the AMD one, if you're supporting all of those different ones, that by itself means that the operating system is no longer just expecting that one APU or two now. It's expecting all of those possible variations, and that will actually open the compatibility to a lot of desktops and laptops and whatever.
No, The prospect of a future where, like, SteamOS is a viable platform for gaming, compared to Windows, like, that's exciting. But even the EU doesn't believe that shit's gonna happen. Do you think in another 2 years we're gonna get, like, the Steam Deck BroLED? Or, I don't know.
No. That's not how RGB works. It's gonna be the Steam Deck MOLED.
MOLED.
Ah, yes. The MO Steam Deck.
What they need is enough RGBs in there and like a strobe thing so you can have like an emergency mode to like scare off enemies.
Oh yeah, I know. If you get lost in the woods with your Steam Deck, it just like creates a beacon.
It just starts playing Darude Sandstorm and like just lights up and like, yes, let's go.
Dude, I would pay money for a mode for that. I want rave mode. Absolutely.
Like, all right. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this week's Linux Gamecast Weekly, so I'm gonna click this. Are we gonna get outro music, maybe? I don't know.
There it
sounds
is.
Like it.
Sorry for being a little extra scratchy this week, but I held together, and so did these two yahoos. Give them a big pinky toe together. But if you want to get in touch with me, you can always find me at Vin Stone. I'm over on the Zitters. I'm at Vin on our federated timeline. If you're into that, mass.linuxgamecast.com. I'm always in our Discord. If you're a patron or Twitch sub, link that up. Come say hi in our super secret Discord. But as always, our live show is linked in our Discord with Twitch and IRC. So if you're around, you know, tell us about your favorite soup.
I'm Jordan. You can find me in this space on the planet of the mass.linuxgamecast.com. I'm at Frojo there, or I'm at The Burning Fool on Twitter. Yeah.
And if you want to discuss the particularities of attempting to game on distributions that are absolutely not meant
long-term
for it, there's a number of
contracts.
Temple OS.
There's
a
number of points I could make about that, so shout at me on Mastodon. That's an account at 4 with the actual number 4 at mass.linuxgamecast.com. It's, yeah, a
Temple Deck.
Don't use right. A, just Credit don't up. Use Holo ISO.
Jeez, calm down.
It's round on either side and high in the middle. I got there. I figured it out. God damn it. Well, it's that time of the week again where we venture into the vacuum, scream into the void at our advisors, Omega Sartharin, and our executive producers, Barbara Abscamashota, Tom McCass, Mike G. Drummer, Tomash, Hakim, David, Eshep, and Ian, and our Lil Nick fans, Super Death Note, Empty, Glorious Egg Roll, and Noobs.
Sea Monsters, Renua, Rider X Machina, Trudgy, Veritanuda, Justin, Nubbin, Darkwing, System T, Denzing Joe, Ogiwon, and Kyrilla. And many Death Notes like Doom 2.1, Nova, Svine, Piper, Aromatic Dev, Barco, Oil of Hoop, Dodger.
Ball of Hoop.
And many, many more.
Like Jack, Strider.
Ball of
Pediatrico,
Hoop.
Broth.
And big, big thank you to
thank you.
All of the
fine upstanding edibles people who picked up stuff on our wish list. Go check that out. We got a support button over there. And you'll end up on this little thing back here. Look. Next to Frank. Okay, are we good?
Shiny.
All the shilling has been done and completed. Until next week, everybody. Tell us how you're enjoying your PlayStation Portal TM remote player, because you can tell us it's already brought up by the name alone. Data fire, everybody.
5 dudes.